irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Jim Potts back on the end. Oh, as always, thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate that. You know, we've got so much to talk about today. There's been so much happening that it's just incredible. You know, before we get too deep into that, I'm going to give you the phone number up front in case you want to call, because we're going to be talking about some things that have occurred, and I know there's a lot of emotion associated with that. I've already been getting some text messages from people, emails from people, et cetera. So let me give you that phone number in case anybody wants to comment on some of the things I'm going to be talking about that are going to involve all these current events. The number is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. And as usual, and you can find out on the website. Also, you know, in case you want to email at me like so many people do, at listenup@potsandassociates.com. That's listenup@potsandassociates.com. Or if you want to get my blogs or email blast about upcoming show topics, text that to Potts Associates and text that to 228-228 and enter your email. Let me give that to you again. Text Potts Associates and text that to 228-228. And simply enter your email address, and you'll get my show topics, you know, way in advance. You know, in the past couple of weeks, I've been sending out information regarding the my upcoming book that was going to be ready for you, called Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips. And it's a pocket guide. It's a small book. It's perfect. It can fit in your purse and fit in your, in your back pocket or your pocket, whatever the case may be. Well, I want to tell you, finally, I got to tell you, today's the day. You know, this has been a gut-wrenching day for all of us with all of the information that's being thrown at us on the media right now about these different events. You know, my whole focus has been, you know, keeping you safe. And every Sunday, how to be safe at work, at home, at the mall, schools, restaurants, tall buildings, etc. And, you know, it saddens me about these events out there with so many people that have gotten killed within the last week and all of this back-to-back. You know, my email blast that I sent out, it went out Thursday and Friday, was going to be talking about the Garlic Festival, also the disgruntled worker at the Walmart that shot and killed two people as well. And now, after that, we had El Paso and now the Ohio shooting as well. So I'm going to stray a little bit today because I just think that there's so much that we have to discuss. And, it, you know, like I said, it's just gut-wrenching, you know. You know, when I wrote my book, I told you it was going to be an easy read and easy to carry, et cetera, and all those little tools in there that, you know, are things that you could understand and, you know, be able to help you and be safe. I wish I had gotten it out sooner. Hopefully some of those other people would have seen it. But just to let you know, my book is now available. You can find it at www.lulu. That's LULU.com. Again, www.lulu, LULU.com. And just type in my name, James William Potts, and the site will take you straight to the order page. I kept it low because of the price low because of the fact that I wanted people to be able to afford it, because I think it's really very good information. You know, and I want these tips in the hands of everyone out there, because I want everybody out there to be safe. I did a lot of training this week on domestic terrorism and active shooter training, and I talked about some of the same things that happened in the last 24 hours. And, you know, like I said, it's gut-wrenching to have to go back through that. But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about. Let me get into some of the other areas first, and I am going to come back to that. But the first thing I want to do is send out a shout-out to Needles, California. It's interesting that Needles declared themselves a Second Amendment sanctuary city. Now, that's very interesting. That city wants an exemption to some of the California state gun laws. And they basically are hoping to secede from California and become a part of Nevada or Arizona in order to save the hospital and boost the economy. There's a number of issues that are going on out there, and there's only 5,000 people that live there. And they're one of San Bernardino County's easternmost cities, and they're right there on the border of Nevada, California, and Arizona. So that's interesting, and we'll see what happens. But the city council basically made a declaration they want to consider three possibilities, and they're hoping that the state of California goes for it. The first thing they want is an exemption from the state's gun laws because in a 65-mile radius around Needles and surrounding the town. They also want to request the state to allow the city to recognize concealed weapon permit holders from neighboring Arizona and Nevada, and request to the county to allow the sheriff's deputies to not enforce weapon violations by California, Nevada, and Arizona residents who are following their state rules. Now, what's interesting about that is that California has some of the toughest gun laws in the country, but do not recognize out-of-state concealed carry permits, nor does the state issue such permits to out-of-state residents. Arizona and 23 other states, however, do recognize California permits. So they want to see a little reciprocity there. You know, if we can do it for you, why can't you do it for us, basically? So that's going to be interesting to see if whether or not this city is going to become a Second Amendment. And for those of you that don't remember Second Amendment, it's the right to bear arms, Second Amendment sanctuary city. So we're going to see how that turns out. A little quick announcement that I want to make, because I mentioned on the air once before about Osama bin Laden's son and that we had a $1 million bounty on him. Well, I guess we don't have to worry about the $1 million because the United States has obtained intelligence information that actually Osama bin Laden's son, who's going to be the potential successor, by the way, of Al-Qaeda, apparently he's been killed in an attack. So he's done. So I think that's less for us to worry about. Not that we still don't have to worry about Al-Qaeda, but at least it's not from a revenge motive from a son. So I wanted to mention that to you. Okay. Let's take a look at some of the emails, because I still like to read the emails. And I have to tell you, some of the emails are relating to what we're going to be talking about a little bit more in detail, because these emails were sent before these issues that we had. So let's start out. Jim, not sure if you heard about the United States citizen that was arrested at JFK, and that's the airport in New York City, guys, because they wanted to join the Taliban. I'm not interested in joining the Taliban, but I'm curious why he was arrested. Why would that be illegal? Just curious, and he left his name anonymous. For those of you who didn't hear about, well, probably for good reason, but at any rate, it's what happened was, yeah, it's true. FBI agents arrested a guy that was out of the Bronx, actually. And the reason why they arrested him was because of the fact that he had plotted to go to Afghanistan so he could kill American soldiers abroad. So they, in fact, are filing charges against him. He's 33 years old. He had purchased a ticket for a flight that was scheduled to depart New York, and he's going to go to Thailand first. This was going to be on July 26th. And then he was arrested while he was trying to board the flight. Now, he had a despicable goal, guys. He really wanted to make his way to Afghanistan and join up with Taliban forces and kill Americans. Now, the question is a good question. You know, why, you know, is he being arrested? Well, look, first of all, you would think that, and he's an American citizen, by the way, but you would think that, why don't I have the right to fly, to go to Afghanistan if that's what I want to do? You know, what in fact, you know, how is that illegal? I mean, why aren't I free to do something like that? You know, so is what he did. He actually made a mistake. As I told you before, you know, law enforcement does look on the internet for things, and the counterterrorism department of the FBI are the ones who caught him, and they interrupted his plan. Now, he's a United States citizen, but he was originally born in Bangladesh, just to let you know. All right. Now, he began expressing his desire to go to the Taliban to fight United States forces, really, in the fall of 2018. So this has been going on for months. And part of that problem is that some people may look at that and say, is that treason, because he's getting ready to go fight against the, you know, kill American soldiers, fight against the country. Well, he was going to cross the border into Afghanistan and disguise his intent. He wanted to fly first to Thailand before reaching Pakistan. Then after that, you know, he had purchased walkie-talkies, trekking gear to prepare for his travels. And he even had money that he was going to buy weapons, you know, to help the cause. So, you know, he was criminally charged, to answer your question, Anonymous, with attempting to provide material support for the acts of terrorism. And now I'm going to tell you something. Providing material support to the enemy, and that's what they would be considered, that's his problem. And he's going to have a hard time getting around that, because as I just told you, he had purchased walkie-talkies, trekking gear, and he also had money for weapons that he was also going to utilize and give to the to the Taliban. So I'm telling you right now, that crime right there, punishable up to 15 years in prison. 15 years. So to answer your question, Anonymous, that's why. All right. I know on the face of that, it would seem like, hey, listen, why can't somebody go and do something like that? But when you give aid and comfort to the enemy, that's going to be problematic. All right. Okay, Jim, I was terrified to hear about the shooting at the Garlic Festival. I have been at that festival, and I heard they did not have knowledge why that young man did what he did. The scary part is that there were security measures in place, including police officers there. You are so right. We just have to prepare ourselves because it can happen anywhere, anytime, and to any of us. Keep getting the message out. And that was signed by Joni out of San Jose. San Jose, Gilroy, this is all up in Northern California. And it's true. Now, I'm sure everybody should have heard about what happened at the Garlic Festival, but you know what? They've had that Garlic Festival for years. And I tell people, even in the trainings I did this week, you got to prepare. You got to be aware for these things. And here's a situation where three people were killed, 12 others were injured at a festival. It's a Garlic Festival. And people there, they've had this for 30 or 40 years, maybe even longer. And you would think that that's so out of the way. I mean, Gilroy is a very small place. But this is what I tell people. You got to understand, it doesn't matter where you are. You've got to be paying attention. Now, you could look at that and say, well, what could they possibly have done? Because they had the law enforcement there. It's true. But that's what makes this so tough. Because I have spoken before about the fact that when you're dealing with lone wolves, it is very, very difficult to be able to know all the time what any individual is thinking or what they're capable of doing. Now, they had the security in place. This guy cut a hole through the fence, came in from the back way through the fence, and that's how he got in. Now, the witnesses reported the confusion and panics as the shot rang out. I've told people about this panic reaction versus reflex reactions. So when these things kind of happen, but people are going to panic. There's no doubt about that. It's just all a part of it, and it's sad. But I think what's important here is that the law enforcement jumped on this right away, and as a result of jumping on it right away, they were able to, minimize the situation. And I think it came out later that he actually killed himself as well because they were closing him. I think he was shot, but he ended up killing himself. And, of course, here we go again with the fact that we don't really know why, because he left nothing. So we don't know why he did what he did. And that's the shame to it. Now, I'll be talking about this other situation in a little bit, because now with the shooter that was in El Paso, he had done a manifesto, or, it's when they make these statements about why they do things, and he's still alive. So we'll find out. But that's a three-day event. The Garlic Festival is a three-day event. And I'm going to tell you something. Thousands of people were there. They're lucky only three people got killed. I mean, obviously, it wasn't the luck for the three people. But, he wounded 12 other people. But it could have been much worse than that. And here we go again. This guy was 19 years old that did this. Santino William Legan, L-E-G-A-N, 19 years old. And you don't know what inspired this. But I'm going to tell you, this guy opened fire with an AK-47-style assault rifle. All right, and from what I understand, he had legally purchased that. And it brings up this issue whether or not he purchased this rifle legally in Nevada. It looks like he purchased it in Nevada on July 9th, so it wasn't that long ago. So basically is what he did. He bought it in Nevada and brought it across the California state line. Well, you cannot do that. That's illegal as well. So I don't know how he was able to purchase it there, because normally, as I recall, you have to be able to show residency or whatever the case may be. But it just said that he purchased it. It doesn't give us the information yet about whether or not, about how he did. So it'll be interesting to see how he actually got it. Now, the tragedy is a 6-year-old boy got killed, 13-year-old girl, and a man in their 20s. 6 years old. this is tough. You know, I mean, the parents, well, anybody's family under these circumstances are going to be devastated no matter the age of the person, without a doubt. But, you know, I'm just happy that the police were there and were able to intercede before it got even worse than what it was. But then you look at that and say, okay, that was the garlic festival. We looked at that. Okay, it's sad. But fortunately, the numbers were reduced down. Then we turn around and we also hear about, and I'll get into my third email. The third email that I received, Jim, oh my God, a shooting at Walmart. Now, this is before the Walmart in El Paso. This took place, as I recall, in Mississippi. Jim, oh my God, they put OMG, so I'm assuming that's what it is, a shooting at Walmart. My family and I shop at Walmart, a nice, quiet place where families go. Now we have to worry about employees shooting people. Now, what this was a disgruntled employee. So for those of you who didn't know, I mean, now this has been totally overshadowed, and the Garlic Festival has been totally overshadowed by El Paso and what happened in Ohio. So this person to continue reading says, this is getting out of control, just wanting to vent. And this was signed by Chris from Los Angeles. Well, Chris, yeah, I mean, I get it. What can I say? That Walmart shooting, for those of you, because this is probably already off the air, because like I said, it's been somewhat overshadowed at this point. In that particular situation, two people are dead. And he was a disgruntled Walmart employee. He shot two co-workers and wounded a police officer before he was shot and arrested. So they have him. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. His name is Martez Abram, A-B-R-A-M, and he's been charged with two counts of murder. Now, I'm not sure, this is Mississippi, I'm not sure if they have the death penalty or not, but if he's charged with murder, you know, he's only a suspect, so, you know, we have to always be careful about what we're saying, he's a suspect. So these are what the allegations are. The police officer, actually what saved his life is that he was wearing his vest, so that was good. But at any rate, Walmart. I mean, people go out there shopping at Walmart all the time. Now you got to worry about a disgruntled employee that knows the way in, the way out, things of that nature. Nobody is suspecting, you know, anything was wrong. This is why I also have put on the air to how to watch out for a disgruntled employee. And at the end of the show, I'm going to give you some warning signs for disgruntled employees as well, if we have time to get to it. But if we don't have time to get to it, I will definitely follow up with that with the next show. But you look at these things and say, why are these people doing what they are doing? And you hear a lot of different pieces to this. Now, one of the things, and now I'm going to turn my attention to this business because of mass shootings, which is what the topic was coincidentally supposed to be today. So I'm going to turn my attention to the El Paso situation and the Ohio situation. And again, if anybody has any comments about any of this, you're welcome to call in at 818-602-4929. Now, I also heard on the news that some of the reporters were asking some of the officials today exactly, because they deemed it to be a domestic terrorism act. An act of domestic terrorism. And previously on the air, I have read you the definition because they gave a limited definition. Okay, hold on a second. We're getting a call. Hang on. Hi, you're live on the air with Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment to share?
Yes, I do, about the mass shootings. Here we go again, and now it's getting scarier and scarier. And I think it's about time the government did something. Maybe we'd have to talk about prevention. I mean, is it going to come to the point where you have to have active shooter training? Every store, every restaurant, every bar, every public business in the country, you end up having to have active shooter training.
And you know what? Because the idea is a good idea, but we also have to be concerned about how do you prepare for these open forums. Now, think about that. The situation let's start with the Garlic Festival. Let's go back to Vegas. These are open forums. So in terms of doing I agree with you about the active shooter training for like businesses and things of that nature. The Walmart could have already had the training, who knows? But let's talk first about the open forums, because there, those are not situations where individuals would have active shooter training. So I think for them, I think is what's important is that there are, and one of the things I'm going to mention on the air, I could probably do it now, one of the things that I was going to mention on the air was about the safety precautions that, in fact, these forums can actually do, things that they can do to try to lessen the blow, so to speak. Now, you mentioned about, you know, these mass shootings. So I'm going to take a moment while you're on the air, because I was going to do this, and I want you to hear something, and then maybe you might want to comment. A mass gathering occurs when a large number of people come together in a particular location for a specific purpose. These locations, especially those associated with large crowds, could be an attractive target for terrorism and other crimes. Now, what's important is that by connecting with local authorities, developing plans to identify issues and support incident response, training staff and volunteers, and reporting concerns to emergency authorities. Because you know what? Many incidents may be mitigated or avoided. And see here, when you think about what happened at the Garlic Festival, that's exactly what happened. They had law enforcement. But let me ask you a question. Even with that training, how can they prevent somebody from cutting the fence and coming in through the back way?
Well, that's what's making these shootings more scarier than they have been. I mean, they took the precautions. They had a fence. They had security. You had to be checked before you got in. And all the guy did was cut through the fence. And, you know, I think we have to again look at gun control again. I know it's a touchy issue, but fact of the matter is, I know Jim, you're a big guy on statistics. Haven't the mass shootings gone up dramatically since Congress let the ban on assault weapons expire in 2004?
Let me just tell you something. One of the stats I was going to give today is that in 2019, with these two incidents or these incidents this week, there have been 198 mass shootings this year alone. And those mass shootings have been all across the board. And I'll get to those a little bit later. But, I mean, I'm telling you that this stuff is out of control. But you mentioned about, as an example, you know, gun control is always going to be a hot-button topic for people. Now, here's a situation where a person bought the gun in another state. And then he transported it to California. So I would agree that, wait a minute, I think we need tighter controls because we don't know yet who he bought. I'm sure the authorities know, but that hasn't been released. So it's like, okay, who did he buy the gun from? How was he able to do that if he's got a driver's license, as an example, from the state of California, and now he's in Nevada buying a gun like this? So you have to stop and wonder who sold him the gun. How was he able to get it? Was it at a gun show? Was it at a gun store? Maybe some of this will still come out. Now,
if the assault weapons ban was still in effect, he would have been able to buy it because it would have been illegal to sell assault style weapons. I mean, again, you know, that's the weapon of choice for mass shooters everywhere. The guy in the Garlic Festival used an assault style weapon. I understand the guy yesterday in El Paso used an assault style weapon. So, you know, the problem is the politicians and the NRA. The House of Representatives passed a bill for wider background checks. The Senate, they won't even vote on it because Mitch McConnell won't allow it to go for a vote. And that's wrong. He has blood on his hands. I don't care what anybody says.
You know, I don't. Let me just clarify.
They have to bring back that assault weapons ban. No, no citizen needs to own an assault weapon. You can't hunt with it, and the assault weapon is designed for one purpose and one purpose only: to kill as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time. Only the military or police should be allowed to have those kind of weapons. Period. Well, I don't care about the Second Amendment. We didn't have assault weapons when the founding fathers created the Second Amendment.
Okay.
They had flintlocks, for Christ.
Okay. Just to make sure my position on this is very clear, and I've mentioned this on the air before. First of all, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I want to make that clear. I agree. I do not think assault weapons, in my opinion, should be utilized by anybody other than the military and now police departments. So I do agree with you on that. Okay. Now, Listen, I don't get into the politics of some of this to a certain extent. My issue is everybody being safe. Now, the problem in Washington is that we have politicians who can't get along, okay? So that part I understand. Lifting the assault on these weapons, or, you know, getting the legislation out there. Here's the problem. The problem is when you put a law out there, you know what's going to happen. These people are going to go underground with this stuff. There's so many out there right now. People are building these guns off the internet also. I know people that have built their guns off the internet. So even though you put a ban on there, you create a law, we're always searching for the answers to how we can get rid of this. But let's take a deeper dive into this for a second. There are a lot of assault weapons out there. How many people out there that have them are doing what these individuals did? So is the issue the weapon, or is it the person behind the weapon? And I would agree that it only takes one crazy maniac, okay, to extinguish lives like these individuals just did. So I agree with that. It is tough. But when people want to kill, they will find a way to kill. And I have gone back on previous shows and shown where, you know, 100 people got killed because of bomb blasts and things of that nature. These people that are dedicated to killing other people are going to find a mechanism to do it. Now, that doesn't negate that.
But it's worse with assault weapons. The guy, he was either in Ohio or El Paso, I don't know which one, or maybe both. He said they shot all those people in less than 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Less than 1 minute, he shot all those people with an assault rifle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing, you're not going to do that with a shotgun or a handgun.
And I fully agree with that. So don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to the fact that I think that they need to do to tighten that up as best that they can. But again, I will say that's not going to be the total solution. I think what we also...
Oh, no, I didn't say it would be, but it's something that should be done. We had the assault weapons ban. Was signed in 1994. It was in effect for 10 years, and Congress let it expire. They didn't renew it in 2004, and you check your statistics since 2004, and mass shootings have gone up dramatically since 2004.
Okay.
Statistics don't lie. Politicians lie, but not statistics.
Yeah, and I'm not debating about politicians lying, and that's all politicians, in my opinion, to a certain extent. But let me ask you a question.
I know you try to be neutral. I know, but I think the way the country is now, I think eventually politics is going to rear its ugly head and appear in your show somehow. I mean, at some point, you know, you might not be able to avoid it. I mean, you can stay neutral, obviously, because people do stay neutral on cable news and all the news shows. But at some point, you know,
my taking a stand, whether left or right or in the middle or whatever the case may be, okay, doesn't change the issues that are going to be out there. But what it would do, okay, is that I'd have all of these maniacs marching on my doorway and everything because I'm taking one stance either to the left or to the right, when in fact my focus is safety for everybody. That's what I look at. Now, I want to get back to when you said they let it expire, okay? Do you have any idea why it expired?
I don't know. They didn't want to renew it. They probably been influenced by the NRA. I don't know who was controlling Congress in 2004 or which party, but you know, a lot of those people are in the back pockets of the NRA.
Okay.
I mean, that's a given.
So is what you're telling me?
They don't want any legislation. They don't want any gun control legislation. They don't care what it is.
So let's just be fair. So is what you're saying is that you're making an assumption as to the events that created them not moving it forward. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, look, again, you know, the politics thing is definitely bad. There's no doubt about that. Okay. And I don't disagree with any of that, to make a long story short. But, you know, I was listening today to some of the people that were being interviewed on the news. And there's a deeper dive that's involved with this also, because the issue again has come up regarding these video games with these kids, you know, Call of Duty and some of these other things, where this individual from El Paso, I believe, is the one that you know, where they talk about soldier-like and doing this and doing that. So is it that we are dealing not necessarily with mental health and hate, but some of these kids are being indoctrinated by some of this, and some kids are stronger than others. So some people are using this as an excuse, in my opinion, to move forward on some of the acts that they do. What is your feeling about the video games that are out there?
Well, the video games have gone way, way too far. I think in some cases, it's teaching these guys how to kill. These video games become so realistic. It's teaching them how to kill. And the ones that are addicted to it, that play it all the time, eventually they become numb to the idea of violence. And the ones that are, you know, on the edge, that's not a good thing.
One of the things that they were talking about today, and you know how the news is, when these events happen, they'll hit on all of this today, and then eventually, you know, it fades, and now they move on. And all of the issues are forgotten, so to speak, until something else happens. Now, one of the things that a person was talking about today that was being interviewed, this woman mentioned the fact that, and she was a former FBI profiler, and she's saying the profile from the shooter from Ohio, as well as the shooter from El Paso, could have had the same basic profile, and meaning that some of these individuals, putting this thing aside regarding the video games, is that some of these people are also people that, when they're younger, how they're enabled. I mean, that we're a society that, and when you think about it, we're a society now that really can't even chastise our own children. So some of these people are uncontrolled. They get to do what they want to do. They get to be spoiled. I mean, hell, in California, if you spank your child with a strap, okay, and that mark shows up, it's a felony. They got people going to jail behind that. So it makes people paranoid about trying to discipline their own children. And there's a difference between disciplining a child and being abusive. That's part of what the problem is, in my opinion, as well. Every kid gets a trophy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in different times from so many different perspectives, all right? And when these kind of things happen, we know that it's bad. I mean, you're talking about, in this particular incident in El Paso, you're talking about a 2-year-old kid that got killed, all the way up to an 82-year-old person that got killed. Now, they finally gave us that. I don't know. Did you know the name of this individual? Because I got the name of this individual. Because, you know, they've been talking about not knowing his name. They didn't want to give his name out. But he's been identified.
No.
Yeah, his name is.
Well, the 2-year-old, what I understand it, the 2-year-old survived, was shot, but it's still a sad story because his mother shielded him.
Right.
When the shooting started and his mother died.
Right.
But the two-year-old was shot, but he survived. Yeah. I know he wasn't. I'm sorry, he wasn't shot. They said he had broken ribs because his mother had been shielded, but his mother died.
Right.
But it's still horrible. Well, the El Paso thing though was a blatantly hate crime. That's pretty clear. He told police he wanted to kill as many Mexicans as possible, and you know that's the problem. We have to address the problem in this country too, of the white supremacists out there, because the increase of hate groups has gone up 30% in the last few years.
Well, I just
got a lot of those people are, you know, basically wackos, and they will do whatever they want to do.
I think
they're justified.
I just gave a stat. I don't think this was on the air. Some of the speeches, I gave a speech out by Palm Springs a week ago yesterday, and I got the latest statistics. There's 1,020 hate groups in this country right now.
Wow.
And let me just tell you, when you start talking about white supremacists and all of this, white supremacists and the attitudes and the ideologies about white supremacists have been around for probably over 100 years at this point. And it would not surprise me if it was not, you know, further than that, because people around the world, and I was a history major in college, but people around the world have always put people in certain categories and did the downtrodden, so to speak. They were held at a disadvantage. So those ideologies, white supremacy, there's black separatists out there also. You're saying white supremacists, there's black separatists out there. I mean, these groups that I'm telling you about in the 1,020, there's religious groups that are hate groups that are out there. It's all across the board.
There was a guy, There was a guy on TV yesterday who said, he was talking about the white supremacy. He said that, yes, it's been around for, he said, hundreds of years. White supremacy has been around hundreds of years. What's different today is we are in a digital world, and these white supremacists take advantage of the digital world. They communicate better. They can post their hate manifestos easier. It's a different world because of the social media and the digital world.
And that's making it easier
for them. In other words, making it easier for them to organize.
It's yes, and it's not just them. It's Al Qaeda. It's ISIS. It's all of these different groups that are out there now. And the internet has done that without a doubt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, Antifa is emerging. They've been around since after the World War II, and now they've just been deemed to be another one of the groups that I was just talking about. Anytime collectively where people would hate, I don't care what race you are. If you spew out hate against a religion, a protected group, you know, we talk about that with the gay community. Anybody that spews out hate to me is wrong. And this business about violence, I've talked about it on the show before. I'm just against this kind of violence. I don't condone anybody doing that. And I agree with you. These, you know, people that are white supremacists that are taking actions against people. This guy indicated that he was a white supremacist, you know, in his manifesto. By the way, his name is Patrick Crucius, C-R-U-S-I-U-S. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may not know that, but that's who that guy is. And, you know, I mean, he drove 600 miles. He drove for 10 hours to get there. So he had checked this place out before. He's a 21-year-old. And but you wonder why people get twisted to the point where they do things like this. Now, they're going after him with the death penalty, and I'll tell you this. There are certain states, if you're going to murder somebody, don't murder anybody in Texas, Florida, or Virginia. But I don't think this guy cares. From what I understand, he is talking to the authorities. He's telling them, you know, his thoughts, how he feels, the whole nine yards. So, you know, he will probably eventually pay the ultimate price. But unfortunately, you know, and that brings up a death penalty issue for some people, but unfortunately, he's not going to be able, I mean, we're not going to be able to bring back the lives of the people, you know, that he took. I mean, what was it, 20 people? Whatever the number was, and 27 people got 26. Yeah, 20 and 26. Yeah. 20 people killed, 26 people injured. But I'll tell you what I am impressed by, because you may have also heard on the news that all of these mass shootings we heard within the last week, law enforcement was there. They were on top of it. And they were able to quell it very quickly. I mean, it doesn't get any quicker than that. I think the Gilroy situation was 1 minute. It was 1 minute. And some of these others, El Paso, you know, they were there relatively quickly also. So law enforcement is being trained across the country to be able to respond to these things very quickly, which goes
but
back.
See, the problem is they're using the assault rifles, so it only takes 1 minute to kill a whole lot of people.
Oh, yeah. No, I listen again.
That's the problem.
You're preaching to the choir. I don't disagree with you at all. All right. About that. Like I told you, my position in the past has been that they don't need assault rifles. Like you said, you don't need them for hunting. I go to the gun range and I see these guys with these weapons like they're in Afghanistan or someplace, you know, the Middle East in some war. And these guys are firing up the targets and stuff. And why do you need any of that? You know, so I don't disagree with how you feel about those. And I agree with you that I think that there should be some legislation put in place where we could try to curtail some of this. Because even if we can reduce it down, you know, that would be best. But again, this is United States of America. There's so many of these guns that are already out there. And what about some of these shooters that have taken their guns from relatives' houses? I mean, sometimes it's not even some of these kids. We have to change the way people think. Okay, I think is it. We got to look toward mental health. We got to look toward how these children are being treated or mistreated, what they're learning on the internet and things of that nature. Because you mentioned the internet, and that's true. But some parents are not paying attention to the warning signs. This guy yesterday, okay, he's 21 years old. Who did he talk to about this? You follow what I'm saying? He had to talk to somebody. Yeah. How did he just?
Oh, sure.
How did he just do this? Where were his? I'm not blaming his parents. Don't get me wrong, but where did his thought processes come from? You know, when I'm talking in some of my trainings that I do for employers, and I talk about diversity, or I talk about unconscious bias as an example, you know, how a child starts out is in the home, and the ideologies that people pick up, your children pick up, are things they hear at home first. Then from there, it moves from the home to the neighborhood, because a lot of people gravitate toward the same neighborhood or the same national origin, et cetera. So sometimes some of these things get reinforced then. Then they end up going to school, and then the schools are in the neighborhood because they're neighborhood schools. So to me, some of this is built in. They're indoctrinated as they go along. And so to me, it's got to start with the home. If you live in a home where they're talking about all black people are this, or all white people are this, or our Latino people are this, that's problematic. So that's why I say we got to start at the grassroots, because you're not going to change the thinking of a 21-year-old that just shot up the place in El Paso. How are you going to change his thinking when he's 21 years of age? You're not.
That's what they say. As I say, nobody is born with hatred. Hatred has to be taught.
Right. Right. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, you say he was a white supremacist, but they're talking about, and maybe this means the same to you, I don't know, but they're calling him a white nationalist. So if you talk about a white supremacist, white nationalist, there are so many of these, different categories. And on some of my upcoming shows, I'm going to start breaking some of those categories down, because there could be a lot of confusion. I look at a white nationalist, you know, in terms of the fact that, you know, everything for America, blah, 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 whereas a white supremacist is trying to hold people down. So I look at this a little bit differently, maybe, than most people in terms of their categories. So when you say he's a white supremacist, I think that's a vague term, but a broad term, so to speak, because they haven't released the manifesto. So to call him anything at this point is kind of difficult, in my opinion, because once again, we don't have all the facts yet. When we get all of those facts, which I will follow up on, then, you know, and I'll be talking about it on the air as we go through and try to get to the bottom of why he did what he did. So because he hasn't been killed, I think that's good. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you know about the Dayton, Ohio shooting? Because from what everything I know, you know, this guy, by the way, his name, they don't mention his name on the air, but I got his name. His name is Connor Betts, B-E-T-T-S. All right.
The last thing I heard on the news was the possibility that it might be some kind of domestically related. So he might have been somebody there that he knew or whatever. I don't know. But he came there wearing a flak jacket, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he killed 9 people and injured dozens. I'll tell you something else. Are you aware of the fact that he killed his sister also?
No.
Yeah, he killed his sister also. So there's something that's going on, okay, because they haven't deemed that one yet to be domestic terrorism per se, but it's still considered a mass shooter. And I agree with you that, you know, we don't know yet. This was a nightclub shooting or in a night area. But remember, he was not using an assault rifle. Now, that's what was missing. He was using a .223 caliber rifle, and that's not necessarily considered an assault weapon. So this goes back to the point that I was trying to make to you when I turned around and said that it's just not assault rifles. People who want to kill are going to find a way to do it. And that's the bottom line. And that's why I say it has to be a deeper dive into why. Those 3 little letters right there, why. That is what we have to focus on, in my opinion.
That's it. That's it. You know, keep an eye on these people. I mean, and we talked about this before, you know, red flags. I mean, these people have to talk to those people. Like they have these racist views. They're not going to keep them inside. They're going to say something to somebody. They're going to, you know, spout their venom to somebody, and somebody should say, geez, this guy's, you know, go a little too far to the right.
Or too far to the left. Let's just keep it real, okay? Because I told you about both sides here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it could happen anyway. Some of these people, you got to understand, they're demented, okay? They're demented in their thinking, All right. I don't know any of them that I can see that are neutral right down the middle of the line. I don't know. But when this guy went to kill, I mean, think about it. I mean, I don't know the nationality of these people, but if he's a white supremacist, did he only point the gun at, because I think there was something about immigration and Latinos. Well, is that to say no white people got killed? Did he shoot white people also? Because if he did, that means why would he do that if he's quote unquote a white supremacist? He'd be targeting individuals specifically who may be Hispanic, as an example.
Well, they haven't released the names of the people that got killed in El Paso, as far as I know, not yet. And but they know that some were actually Mexican nationals, Mexican citizens, because in El Paso they come across the border legally to shop,
right,
and then go back,
right.
And then some were Mexicans who were American citizens. So but they haven't released any names, so we don't know the actual percentage of Mexicans. But the guy said to the cops, "I wanted to kill as many Mexicans as I could." And if you want to do that, El Paso is a pretty place to go to a shopping mall where Mexicans come across the border to shop.
Well, I don't, like I said, from my perspective, I feel that any of that kind of behavior is wrong. I understand, you know, with the political fallout, the political atmosphere that we have right now, it's easy to point fingers. But these issues are issues.
Your show's not long enough to discuss that.
Exactly. Okay. And like I said, this goes back long, you know, many years before. You know, I've talked on the show about that, how people have done things to people based upon who they are. And that's always going to be wrong because, I will stress that acts of violence to me are absolutely incorrect. People should not be doing those things. But I think, again, are we as a nation, you know, catering too much in terms of, you know, parents not being able to properly discipline, not abuse, discipline their children to keep them on a straight line? Look, my father was a truck driver. My brothers and I, boy, we had a total line, you know, and you know, we all turned out just fine. But because of some of these things that are out there, the laws that are changing, because some people may abuse their children and the rest of this, then it makes for stricter guidelines for everybody. And I don't know. I'm not a psychologist.
You know, Jim, what aggravates me when they interview people and their relatives or whatever, these shooters. Oh, geez, I didn't know Johnny was like that. He's a nice boy. You know, Jesus, and he goes out and kills 20 people.
Yeah, I find some of that hard to believe because parents. Remember something about parents, okay? I'm a parent myself. I don't know if you are, but I'm a parent myself. And you know what? To me, some of these, you know, you love your kids to the point sometimes where you can make a mistake. Me, my eyes were wide open. All right. Now, I could say that I honestly don't believe any of my three sons would do anything like this. And now there's parents out there, they probably feel the same way. But some of these parents, come on, they know that their child has issues, but they choose not to address those issues, you know, because in family settings, you even have, you know, an uncle that'll mention to his brother, hey, man, what's wrong with bloop de blah? What's going on with him? You know, and they just ignore it. They just ignore it. And I think like I said, I think it has to go back to these children as they're coming along. That's, to me, is what we have to do. And that's why I've been continually talking to parents on the air and telling them that you've got to monitor what these children even are doing on the internet, because you brought up a good point.
Absolutely.
You know, back in the day, you know, what did we have? We had newspapers. I mean, you know, this stuff wasn't in the newspaper. And hell, we were coming up. The only time I ever read the newspaper when I was looking there to, you know, because I played sports in high school. I'm flipping to the back of the paper to see about the game that we played, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now with the internet.
We had half a dozen channels on TV. That was it.
Well, that's right.
And now, there's so much out there, it's unbelievable.
Well, the other thing is we went outside and played. We socialized with other children. We did what we had to do. I mean, that was also a part of it, too. So I don't know. These kids right now, they're just fixated on the computers, and now they got their cell phones where they can get online, the iPads that they can utilize. I mean, this stuff, to me, is not necessarily the good news about technology. Technology is hurting us in so many respects as well. So, I don't know. But, hey, listen, I appreciate you calling in. I think it was a good discussion. I really do appreciate that. I understand your feelings and how you presented them. And, you know, I fully support at least some of what you were saying in terms of the stricter controls and things of that nature. All right.
By the way, while you were mentioning in the beginning of your show, you mentioned about your book. I brought it up online. It looks very good. I'm going to buy it.
Hey, I appreciate that. Well, why don't you buy one for all your relatives, too? So get about 30 of them. No, just kidding. All right. Well, I do appreciate that. Thanks a lot. And thanks for calling in.
For $7, it's a small investment for me that might save your life, you know?
That's exactly right. And that's why I kept the price low, because I want people to be able to afford it. I'm all about saving lives, you know, and I made it like it's a pocket guide, so it can fit right in your pocket, right in the purse. So, hey, look, thanks for calling
in. I just went to Lulu.com, and you have a search thing, and I just put in James Potts, and it came right up.
The James William Potts. Oh, it maybe came up on the James Potts, too.
You don't even need the middle name. You just need James Potts. It comes right up.
Okay, cool. That's good information. Well, once again, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate the support as well.
Yeah. Sorry, I took up all your show.
No, but you know what? Wait, let me just make something clear. It's a good discussion. It's the same thing that people out there need to hear. So I have no problem with that. Thanks for your time.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Okay.
Bye.
Take care, Jim. Thanks. Bye.
You know, again, I don't mind having long discussions with people. This is what it's all about, in my opinion. You know, other people trying to express their opinions on the air. All right. You've been listening to Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. Be sure to join me next week. And if you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, I want you to be aware. I want you to be vigilant. I want you to be safe. More importantly, be a reluctant victim. And don't forget to go to www.lulu.com and get that book. It's going to help you. Until next week, take care.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.